brought to you by Barfoot & Thompson.
On the show today, we're chatting with Justin, Head of Property Management from Barfoot & Thompson, Devonport. Let's catch up on his exciting career journey, and a lot has happened in a short time. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday as we edge our way towards the next long weekend's coming up. It's not far till Easter, folks. Hope you're coping with everything happening in the world today. But we're going to just sort of touch base, first of all, with a little bit of a media update from realestate.co.nz. As it's showing, the Central Otago and Lakes District has now set a new benchmark for weekly rent. It's in a league of its own, with its average weekly rent now sitting at $902 per week. I'll say that again, $902 per week. The record high for the region means renters are now paying almost $100 more per week than they were in February of 2025, when the average rent was $805. Vanessa Williams, spokesperson for realestate.co.nz, says the $900 figure is a defining moment for the market. She says crossing the $900 week threshold is significant and signals that Central Otago and Lakes District has firmly cemented itself as New Zealand's premium long-term rental market, no longer just a holiday hotspot. Sam Stubbs, Managing Director of Simplicity New Zealand Limited, which is building 600 new long-term rentals in the region, says it's crazy that hard-working people are having to pay so much to have a roof over their heads. The February rental report also shows that the national average rent eased to $629 per week. That's down 1.9% year-on-year. Wellington experienced the greatest year-on-year decline, with rents in the capital falling 7.1% from $673 a week in February last year to $625 a week in February 2026. New listings just increased 0.7% nationally year-on-year, with 6,040 rental properties coming onto the market in February. The West Coast experienced the greatest surge in rental listings, with a 140% year-on-year increase to 24 properties. Rental stock has increased 6.2% year-on-year February 26 to 7,504, up from 7,064 last year. That data's all come from realestate.co.nz. Now, as I chat to our guest, I'm not sure if his rental properties in Devonport would hit $900 on an average rental market, would it, Justin?
Ooh, we're getting close there.
Getting close. Well, welcome to the show, Justin Huang, who is the Head of Property Management for Barfoot & Thompson's Devonport branch. And look, before we even talk real estate, Justin, just tell us about your career and your study journey. What did you do before sort of venturing into this real estate world?
Thank you for having me, Stephen. So before this, I was at a completely different field, really. I was an athlete growing up in high school, so that was basically most of my life.
And what sport?
So I did gymnastics and as well as taekwondo.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I did those things thinking that I'd be going to the Olympics and I'll be coaching, and I thought that would be the rest of my life. But here I am as head of property in Devonport. So after high school, and because my sporting career came to a halt because of some injuries, some broken wrists stopped me from doing gymnastics. After that, when I went over to taekwondo, a meniscus injury stopped me from doing taekwondo, and then I was at a cross point between, you know, do I try to go back to sports or do I go into uni? My parents kind of pushed me into going to uni, so I dropped the sports and went into physiotherapy.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And so I'd studied physiotherapy about 3 years, did some clinical placements, and it wasn't really what I envisioned. It didn't really click with me. So I just looked around for jobs here and there. I stopped studying, and I got into a reception job at City Fitness. And going there, I climbed up the ranks, went into assistant manager and then manager, which is, looking back now, it's quite similar to property management because I was managing the facility in a sense.
Mm.
And just looking after a team there. And after that, I was there about 4 years and I was looking for some change and ended up getting interested in property management. And I looked for quite a long time because not a lot of places take you on board when you don't have experience or prior qualifications. And then I found that Barford & Thompson had a training academy, a cadet program, which was a really good opportunity for me.
Brilliant. Yeah. So if we unpack your real estate journey, and look, you've done a lot in a short space of time, but what was it firstly that property, you know, why did property management interest you so much?
What really drew me to property management was realizing how impactful this role is. Some people might have this idea that it's just collecting rent, doing inspections, but it's so much more. And it has a huge impact on the longevity of the properties and ultimately a return on your investments. You are essentially a part legal advisor, part maintenance coordinator, part mediator. You have many hats. I just love the idea of managing what is most often the biggest asset for an owner while also helping tenants find a place to call home.
Cool. So you mentioned at the start that you started in the training academy. So for our listeners, what is this? Because this is quite unique to Barford & Thompson, isn't it?
Yes. I haven't seen it with any other companies. I was fortunate enough to come across this opportunity, especially for people like me that hasn't had the experience or prior qualifications. It was a way into the industry, you know. And basically, it's a program where they take you on and take you through a step-by-step process, getting you accredited to be a property manager, going through workshops, trainings, and then working alongside already experienced property managers, and then experiencing actual property management, going to inspections, going to viewings, and then we would have weekly workshops where we go through the legal trainings, which is an important part on this. And after that, you get given a small amount of properties to look after, of course, with the supervision of the head of property there. And then you go through and experience what it's like managing your own portfolio and then arranging your own maintenance, emailing tenants, emailing owners. And
with a safety net of somebody there to help and guide you. Bit like an internship, isn't it? Like if you were a builder and you were going off to sort of learn and you tag along with the builder for X number of months. Same sort of vibe?
Yeah, exactly.
How long was the process for you in the training academy?
Usually it's set up as a 6 months fixed term, but they look after you the whole way through. So it really depends on how quickly you get ready.
Right.
And if you pick things up fast, you might be placed into a branch faster.
So what were those first few weeks like? What was the biggest surprise, I guess, you know, coming into property management? What surprised you the most? I could flip it and say, what was your biggest challenge?
What surprised me the most was, and also the challenge, was that there was so much more than I expected.
Right.
As I said, I mean, it's not just inspections and collecting rent. There's so many aspects of the job that you learn as you go, and nothing is black and white. And then all the experience you get, you know, helps you towards being a better property manager later down the line.
And how do they monitor you along the journey? Are there assessments that you have to complete, or are you just physically watched as you do things? Like, how do you know that you've passed?
We go through the assessments and online modules all at the same time. So we have to pass the online modules as well. So it takes some study on the side.
Mm.
And then we get supervised and do get assessments every now and then from the head of property. And then you get quizzed. You get asked questions for different situations. And then later on, you'll have a final kind of assessment to see if you're ready. And then if you're not, you just have to keep trying.
And if you are ready, do they then place you out in the branch, or is it your job to go and try and find now that next step in your career journey?
Yes, so when you're basically ready to go out, you'll be placed into a branch. They will place you into a branch, and you are essentially there for about a week or two experiencing what it's like working at an actual branch as an actual property manager. And if you like the branch, you get along well with the people. And if the branch manager and the head of property there likes you enough, maybe they'll take you on. If not, you're going to have to hope
keep
for them.
Trying.
Yeah.
Do you have a personal sort of favorite memory from your time in the training academy? Anything crazy happen? I'm putting them on the spot here.
Ooh.
No funny stories.
Something crazy. Nothing crazy, really. Not from memory.
So what was it like graduating then at the end?
Graduating, it really felt like a massive win.
Nice.
There was so much support. And, you know, this job isn't really for everyone. And it felt like I had keys to a new career. There's a real sense of pride because Buffer & Thompson is a industry-leading company with more than 20,000 properties under management. And you know that if you've made it through the academy here, you're ready for the front line.
That's cool. Who would you recommend thinks about this as a journey, the training academy I'm meaning? Who do you think it suits?
I would, firstly, you would need some resilience, generally organized, and genuinely likes people, because it's a people job, you're managing relationships. If you enjoy a desk job, but I mean, if you don't really enjoy a desk job where you're staying in one spot, then this might be for you.
We had your general manager on a few weeks ago, and he talked about the fact that one of his biggest learnings in his first year in that role is how much property management is all about people. Your owners, your tenants, your tradespeople, everything's people. Would you agree that, did that surprise you, that the amount of elements to people contact?
Absolutely. I thought everything would be quite black and white, just structured systems. While that is the case, there's a lot of, you know, people element to it. You have to deal with disputes. You have to approach relationships in a certain way to, you know, get the best outcomes.
So then you graduated, and my understanding is you headed off to be a property manager for the first year at the Whangaparoa branch. What was your biggest learning heading there? Beautiful spot to head for your first branch, can I say?
Oh, yes. It was a good area. Moving to Whangaparoa branch as a property manager, it was basically like a proving ground for me. I would say that my biggest learning there was that there's always more to learn in this field. Not every situation is black or white. The Residential Tenancy Act has a word reasonable everywhere, and it can be confusing for many people. This just stresses how important it is for us to stay on top of our new legislations, changes, and being able to adapt to different situations.
So was it easier or harder than you expected? Once you left the safety net of the training academy, you're now not on your own, because I'm sure there was a team supporting you, but you were in charge of a larger portfolio. Was it easier or harder?
It was definitely harder. A lot more pressure. The hardest thing I would have to say is the emotional weight, I guess, in a way. You are dealing with people's homes and their hard-earned investments. And when a pipe bursts at 11 p.m. on a Sunday, you're the one who has to coordinate the fix. And balancing the needs of both the tenants and owners, who might often have opposing goals, can be tricky.
Absolutely. What do you think is the hardest part of being a property manager?
With those tricky situations, you need to make educated, you know, decision.
Mm.
You know? And it's not always, you know, you have to, sometimes it takes a lot of back and forth with your teammates as well, who's had more experience to be able to get there. Yeah.
Backing up that team. How do you stay up, I guess, both yourself and within the company, with all the legislation changes that come from time to time? There's been a lot in the last few years. How do you stay up to date?
We are actually very lucky at Barfoot and Thompson to have a really incredible in-house legal team. And we get regular training and workshops. They're essentially the pillars that support all our property management departments with legal advice. And they hold workshops every time there's a new legislation coming in, when Healthy Homes came into effect as well, and this new PIT legislation. And I would say this is a big appeal for landlords that may be considering, you know, managing their properties as well. Because you don't just get the property manager, you get the backing of one of the biggest property management companies in New Zealand and its support system.
Brilliant. You mentioned then, you know, legislation, PET legislation, we had Healthy Homes. How did you and your team cope through the Healthy Homes stage? And do you believe, you know, property managers versus the private landlord, you were able to really offer something in this space?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Healthy Homes standards was massive. It was probably one of the busiest times of the year last year, leading up to July. We managed the inspections, sourced the trades, ensured the 13A statements or certifications were filed properly. Most owners wouldn't have known where to start with specific requirements or heating calculations, things like that. And the thing with Healthy Homes that we have to be careful is the MBIE audits happen not just to property management companies, but individual landlords that manage their properties themselves, and improper documentations or overlooking certain areas, just thinking, you know, the house was warm when I was there, it doesn't really need a heat
pump. Doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count. And it can cause thousands of dollars in fines.
Okay. So as a property manager, those experts, you're potentially not just saving the money now, but saving potential money in the future when things go wrong.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. And do you look back on your year in Whangapoa? Was there any special moment or highlight or something you look back with fondness?
We, at Whangapoa, we really had a sense of camaraderie. The boys there, I got along really well as a team of, you know, Matt, Phil, and we would do activities outside of work as well, things like going go-karting and going to each other's houses for a pizza night.
Nice.
Yeah, things like that.
Nice, that team spirit, so important. So, 1 year into the role, you became Head of Property Management for the Devonport branch. Now, how did this come about, and were you expecting to be promoted so soon?
Oh, no, this wasn't expected at all. Yeah, because I was a year into my position, just over at Whangaparoa, so I was thinking maybe a few years down the line that would be an opportunity, but it did come up. And I had some prior interactions with the branch manager here, which did help. Now, we got along really well. I did my placement in Devonport, actually.
Ah, so building up that relationship from your training academy time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was initially a little bit hesitant because I wasn't sure if I was ready. But our, you know, operations manager, my HOP, they both kind of ensured that I would be, you know, well fit for the job. And they gave me support all the way through. Even now, they're always supporting me.
Brilliant. So tell us, what does this role entail? I'm curious to know how it's different being a head of property management versus a property manager.
So the main difference would be that the responsibility, it stops with you. So, you know, you don't have your head of property to go back to.
And you're it.
This is what happened here.
Yeah.
So it's my role now is more about strategy and support. So I oversee the portfolio as well as mentor or help the property manager handle tricky disputes. And my main focus would be focusing on the growth.
Yeah, cool. And, you know, speaking of growth, it's a small branch. Do you have plans in place to try and build that up?
Yes. So Devonport, as you know, that's it's not really known for the rentals, but so we are hoping to branch out further out into Hauraki, Belmont, near Takapuna, in those areas.
Okay, so talk to us about Devonport as an area, because our program's listened to all over New Zealand. For someone listening in the South Island who might not know much about what Auckland's landscape is, how would you describe Devonport to someone? Because it is a little bit unique.
It is. I'm actually still, you know, finding out more areas of Devonport myself. But for those outside Auckland, Devonport is it's a really beautiful seaside village with a soul, I say.
That's nice.
It's full of heritage villas, beaches, has a really tight-knit community. Our property manager, Tina, actually, she's been in Devonport for over 20 years, and she knows just about everyone. So if we go out on a walk to get coffee, she'll be stopped about every 10 metres to have a chat and
so
hi.
Still got that community vibe happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned it being seaside. Of course, it's got the ferries that can run straight across to the city. So I guess, you know, in this day of petrol prices going up and potentially petrol disappearing on us, how cool to live in a place that you can jump on a ferry to get across, okay. Use that public transport.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a 12-minute ferry ride from CBD.
But you've missed the biggest thing, Justin. I thought when I said describe Devonport, the first thing you'd say is it has the best chocolate shop in the country because it's got Devonport chocolates. It's very bad whenever I'm in that area. Very bad, because that shop just calls me in, literally screams. Are you a fan?
I have tried it, and I am a fan.
Yes, that would have been really awkward if he said, no, I'm lactose intolerant, and that was the end of the conversation. Mind you, I was up in Mangawhai this weekend, they're fabulous Bennett's chocolates there, I'll give you a big tick too. But I digress, as I often do. So why do you think Devonport and the surrounding areas, you mentioned Hauraki, etc., North Shore, why do you think it's a good investment area?
Ooh, it's a... because there's always... you know, we get a lot of people, people looking for rent, especially with all the amenities close by in the area. And in Devonport in particular, I found that commands quite a higher rent compared to the other areas. With three-bedroom homes that are averaging higher than 850 up to 1,000. Luxury villas, we have quite a few that are exceeding 1.5k per week.
Wow. Is that because you are, I guess, you're getting the heritage, you're getting the beaches, you're getting the ferries, you're getting that community. Is that what's bumping those prices up?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, okay. So what is the average rent in your area at the moment?
It would be around... So I would say the average would be $850-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
How often do you review rents for your clients?
We review rents every year, although it doesn't always go up every year because market rent doesn't always, you know, keep climbing.
So what sort of things are you looking for when you're reviewing rent? You mentioned market rent. Like, how do you determine what the rent should be?
So we look at what's listed out there currently. We look at the statistics from Tenancy Services. They have data from the bonds taken from rental properties. So we can get a general idea on a median rent and where it's sitting at for each three-bedroom, two-bedroom, one-bedroom. And, you know, looking at what's listed out there now, you don't want to be too high above every other property or too low. So we just have to find the right, you know, middle ground.
What happens if a tenant comes back to you and says, I appreciate you've put the rent increase, but we're just not able to go any further? Do you sometimes go back to the owner and go, hey, this is a good tenant, we need to hold on? Like, is there a negotiation process?
Yes, it's always open for, you know, discussion. If the tenant's a really good tenant and they feel like, you know, this increase is going to be a little bit too difficult, then we definitely go back to the landlord and have a discussion. Is it worth them leaving and then us getting some vacancy time in between? Or can we keep to this rent and maybe increase later later in the year?
Nice. Yeah. Do you have aspirations to be an investor yourself?
Yes, yeah. I'd say you can't really live and breathe in the industry without wanting a piece of the pie yourself. Seeing the long-term wealth property creates for our clients is the best advertisement for doing it yourself.
Cool. Now, what tips and tricks do you have for landlords listening to ensure they can get the maximum return on their investment? For example, you know, what are the tenants looking for in homes today?
Tenants are... So, the first of all, most important would be, you know, a clean environment. So keeping up with maintenance items like the gutters, roof treatments, house washes, hedges, and sometimes a worn down property, a fresh coat of paint prevents massive bills later.
So do you give advice, like when you go and look at a property, do you kind of walk around and then give feedback to the owner on what improvements they could make before you work out what that final rent price will be?
Yes, of course, yeah. Usually we'll go through the property together for an appraisal. We'll have a walk around. A lot of the times the properties are usually quite nicely presented and ready if they are already thinking about renting, but there are times where we have to suggest certain changes so that it becomes more appealing for the tenants.
What are tenants looking for today? Like, I mean, in my day as a property manager, it was always the garage and the dishwasher. I think for me, when I go look at a property, the first thing I check out is the kitchen. Is it going to be good fun to cook in? And definitely, is there a dishwasher? What are tenants looking for on the shore?
Yes, the dishwasher is actually quite a big thing that we get often. Yeah, so a nice kitchen, obviously. And... A backyard would be good.
Okay.
Because we're getting three-bedroom properties are typically the most popular. And we're getting families in, and they want kids to play in, a space for kids to play in. Fully fenced, ideally. And a garage, yeah.
Is there much apartment living in Devonport?
Devonport... No, there's not many apartments around. There's a couple of apartment buildings that we have properties managed in, but not many apartments.
Okay. So what is the market like at the moment in Devonport and surrounding areas? For those wanting to rent, is there plenty for tenants to choose from, or is it slim pickings?
Right now, well, in terms of rent price, it's remained somewhat flat, but no big movements there. But we are seeing an increase in renters looking, which is a good sign for landlords. Just in the past few months, we've had many people searching for rentals, and we've already let out all our vacant properties, so we don't have any more to rent out to.
That's a good problem to have.
So this is, I would say, is an important time for landlords to take a more pragmatic approach to when pricing the rent as well. Properties at the right price are getting snatched up quite quickly.
Okay.
So rather than chasing the market down and getting the listing on with the right price from the get-go will make quite a difference to the vacancy time.
So what can a tenant do to make their own application stand out for you?
One of the important ones, making sure you fill out everything on the application form. There are so many times where we have to keep going back and forth, asking for more information. And while this is happening, we might have another application that's completed everything. It's gone through all the checks and went to the landlord. It's got the approval and they're getting it.
So recent years, the Privacy Commissioner sort of set up a two-step process for applications where you can provide a certain amount now, and then if you've made it through to the preferred next stage, you can provide more. Do you find, though, and is it helpful if most people just fill it all out at the beginning? Because I imagine your job's pretty busy.
It would help, but it hasn't really hindered our process that much.
Nice. Okay. Have you had many people respond to the new pet legislation and want to rent with pets?
It's not many in our area that we've experienced yet, but it's definitely a positive for tenants out there. We've definitely had a few properties where they wouldn't normally take pets, but we were able to find tenants quicker because this legislation has opened up.
So a bit of a selling point, I guess. Have you had any strange pet requests? Not yet. Okay.
Not yet.
No one's imported a monkey we need to know about or anything like that?
No.
With winter coming, as a property manager, winter's around the corner, sadly. What sort of maintenance things are you thinking about now for your properties?
So this would be a good time for our gutter cleaning, especially those ones with trees overhanging, a lot of branches and leaves falling. Roof treatments with those lichen growth. We just want to get those treated as soon as possible. House washes, hedges. Those annual, maintenance items, it would be a good time now.
Look, you've done a lot in 2 years, from someone who started as an intern in an academy, coming straight from the gym. You then went on to be a property manager. Within a year, you've become the head of property management. Should Anil be worried that you're after his job next year? Like, what's next on the horizon? What's the long-term goal?
long-term goal. I haven't thought that far ahead. I really want to make a difference in Devonport branch and grow the branch, grow our portfolio, perhaps get more property managers, and who knows, somewhere down the line I might get some sales experience and get into branch manager.
Cool. Awesome. Awesome. And I guess with the size of a company that Barfoot & Thompson is, there is plenty of doors open for that.
Yeah.
You mentioned at the start when I asked about, what was one of the biggest challenges, you said part of being a property manager is that there's an emotional weight, you called it. How do you unpack that, and how do you look after yourself? Because, yes, I imagine you are sometimes, you've got all the wonderful things, putting a tenant in their home and making them feel wonderful, but also sometimes you, for whatever reason, tenant's fault, or perhaps the house is up for sale, you're having to evict somebody or end their tenancy. That's taking them away from their home. How do you look after yourself in this role?
Yeah, that's the difficult part. Trying to separate that when you leave home, because property management in general is not one where you shut off completely when you go home from work. For us, our phones are always with us. So just having some time set aside to just wind down, spending time together with family, friends.
I guess that technology thing is a blessing and a curse, because we do live in a world now where we want people accessible 24/7. Do you have to set your own sort of limits around after hours and making sure that you are stepping away?
Yes, I try not to to get myself, you know, thinking too much about work while I'm out of work. But prioritizing, just we keep an eye on whatever comes through our phones, but we know when it's an important one that we need to react straight away, and we know when it's not, when it can wait until Monday. So just getting that straight is the best thing I can do.
Brilliant. When you think back to your gymnastics and taekwondo days, and even, I guess, the physiotherapy, were there skills or disciplines you took from that space that you've brought into your job now?
Yes. I would say the biggest thing I took away from being an athlete was the discipline. So that kind of feeds into all areas of my life. Being able to stick to a regimen and just being conscientious. Having discipline really helped with all whichever role I went into. I tend to, you know, I think in gym as well, I climbed quite relatively quickly.
Yeah. You have a Korean background. What's the culture like in Korea for investing? Do you know? Do Korean people like to invest in property?
They do, but I don't really hear many from Korean investors, but I am open to them, you know, coming to me if they have any questions.
I'm just curious, because often when we chat to people from different parts of the world, every country has their own sort of way and whether property investment is big, but I'm not too sure about Korea. When did you last go back?
You probably have a better idea, but from someone that's not Korean. The last time I went back was 2019, which was just before COVID hit. So it's been quite a long time.
Yeah. Brilliant. You have the most impressive tattoos as well. I've been watching, because they're quite scary but also impressive, but it almost looks like they're talking as you move your arms. So, you know, that would certainly help, I guess, if you ever have a conflict situation with a tenant. What are you looking forward to most for the rest of this year?
I'm looking forward to my brother's getting married later in the year. So going over to Bali for that, getting some time off. And then I'll be visiting Korea, actually.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Awesome. So when you take time off, how do things keep ticking without you and your branch?
So we have relievers. We have a bunch of relievers in Buffett and Thompson. And so you can book for a leave and, you know, you don't have to worry about your property, you know, burning down.
Great. Do they get to take the phone off you so you can have a true holiday?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah,
that's fantastic. That's worth its weight in gold. Justin, congratulations. What a journey, just in such a short time, to go from cadet to property manager to head of property management. As you can probably hear down the phone, he's a very humble, shy man, but oh my goodness, doing amazing things. A real rising star in the real estate industry. Thanks so much for coming on and chatting tonight, and we wish you every success for your career, and I'll look forward to catching up in the future and seeing what you're up to.
Thank you, Siri.
If you want to get in touch with Justin, head to barfoot.co.nz/Devonport. You'll find all the information there about him and his fabulous team. Nicole's the branch manager. She'll help you out with any sales inquiries as well. That's us for another week. Good luck travelling home. Maybe a few less cars on the road soon as people start having to hit the public transport to save fuel. Next week, we have the incredible Serena Gibbon in here, total advocate for the industry. history to fill us in on what mischief she's been up to since we last caught up. Have a fabulous week. We'll catch you next week. Take care.